Even when it's late June, perhaps the dead zone of the year in the, on the sports calendar, there's still a lot. One thing, sadly, there isn't, as was announced today, the NFL supplemental draft is...
No one partook.
Is no more, at least for this year. No one has made a pick, I read, in the supplemental draft since 2019. But, man, Bulldog, the days of the NFL supplemental draft. Steve Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Kozar? With the Bills involved in the draft picks and stuff? Wasn't he?
Ooh, I don't remember that. Steve Walsh, I remember. I don't remember Kozar being supplemental draft. It's not to say that I don't trust you. I just don't remember that.
Do you really need a supplemental draft? The NFL is saying apparently no. Yeah. We don't really need that. Nobody really uses it. So that's out. So, sadly, I would say, no need to ask Sam Panayotovich for his thoughts on what will happen in the 2025 NFL supplemental draft, because there will not be one. Sam Panayotovich on the Western Hotline, the host of Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Check everything out, lines and whatnot, on the BetMGM app, and be sure to catch Sam's show with Joe Ostrowski weekday mornings 9 to noon Eastern on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app. Sam, how are you?
Vacation is underway, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for playing Led Zeppelin into my head. I love that.
Well, I mean, I had no say in the matter, but I'm glad you're happy.
I'm glad it worked out for you.
Yes.
Where is vacation?
Right.
Are you just, you know, I don't want to say the thing that how people describe staying home on vacation, because it will make me want to slam my head in a doorway.
Staycation? You don't like that?
I don't want to work here anymore. What are you doing on your time off, Sam?
Back to Chicago, back home. So I'll be there Monday to Saturday. There's a bunch of parties Thursday, Friday, and then back to work on Monday. Although I was told I should probably call off that Monday now so I don't have to work it. Then I can work Tuesday. But, yeah, back to Chicago, back home for the holiday.
All right, good deal.
Seems like they'll probably know what's going on if you do that at this point. NHL draft. No?
Sam's going to hang up. He's on vacation.
I know. I did see from Greg Wyshynski, like, the top four picks are minus money. The first pick is minus 10,000 or something. So there's not a lot of drama there. Is there anything to do with it?
No, not right now. Everything has been molded into shape. We bet this kid Martone to go third overall, and I have no idea if that's going to hit. But he was 15-1 about a month ago. And at this point, he's like 5-1, 6-1. I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's funny, in Vegas, they're not even booking bets on this. So there were several sports books in Vegas that for years used to take bets on NFL draft, NBA draft, NHL draft, and they all stopped because they kept losing every year because they had no idea what they were doing, and the info got to the bettors before the books.
Right.
So, I mean, look, you laugh, but it's true.
Ask
any Vegas bookmaker, the NFL draft was a loss leader for the last 5 or 6 years, and then they finally just stopped taking it because they were on defense the whole time. But I have Martone, I think that's his name, to go third overall. If that happens, cool. If not, whatever. I was going to ask you guys, should I bet Buffalo to win the cup at 150-1?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, that's just free money.
Yeah.
150-1?
Yeah.
What's the most you would bet on that? $20? 20 for 3,000? Could you go that far to win the Stanley Cup? You wouldn't put $20 on that?
No.
All right, I would.
No, I like my long shots, and so therefore I'm conditioned to like losing. But
that's how we're different.
That just seems like a complete waste to me.
I would spend $20 on that to win 3,000, and they'll just hedge in the conference finals.
Mm.
That's what I will do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it hasn't been good, I know, for a while, and I actually listened to you guys the other day, I thought Mike's visor was going to leap off his head. He was, you know, I thought he was very animated in that video. But you look at the prices for these teams, like the Penguins are 200-1, Seattle 300-1, and then the Blackhawks and Sharks are 500-1. That says a lot. As wide open as hockey is in the playoffs, those teams have no chance.
Pittsburgh seems like maybe a more reasonable idea, just because of Crosby and Malkin,
right,
to win a Stanley Cup. They've won four, right? Or three?
Three, yeah.
Sam, you and I were both thinking about NFL Coach of the Year. For some random reason – had a thought about Sean McDermott this morning and this award and like what he might need to have a chance at it, which is, I think, maybe 100% a Josh Allen injury. I mean, perish the thought. Can McDermott build – is there a season, in your opinion – and he's going to be a long shot. He always is, and he never has come close to the award. I mean, even with all the five straight division titles, still. Is there a season, you know, apart from an Allen injury – Is it 17-0? What's a year where McDermott might have a look at it?
Yeah, I think you painted two pretty good pictures. It's either the Bills going undefeated or Josh Allen going down and him coaching up whatever there is left in the back, like the backup room. I don't know. You know, because Andy Reid every year is 100-1, and Andy Reid, I would argue, is one of the best coaches in the league. Yeah. But he doesn't win. He's won it one time, so. I don't know that there's any value in betting like McDermott, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid. It's just you have so much security there in terms of like winning games, and I don't know. Like usually it's a coach that takes a team to 10 wins that wasn't good the year before. I mean, you look at O'Connell, Stefanski, Dable went 9-7-1 a couple of years ago. It's usually a coach that overexceeds expectations by a handful of wins. So I was texting you, Mike. I said, I think Shane Steichen makes a lot of sense. Last year they were about 500, and now they have a really bad quarterback room. Richardson, Daniel Jones, and Riley Leonard. If he can massage 10, 11 wins out of that, I think he's a good bet at 30-1. My advice would be to not bet the Bears coach, because last year Matt Eberflus was favored to be coach of the year, and he got fired midseason. Not that Ben Johnson and Matt Eberflus are equals, but it's difficult to bet those guys on top. You know, everybody's talking about them. It's Vrabel, it's Ben Johnson, it's Pete Carroll, Liam Cohen's right. Another one. But everybody knows that, guys. So I would be looking like at least 20-1 or higher, because there's no value on any of these guys 6, 7, 8-1.
What kind of number is on McDermott right now? I don't know. I've not looked at this. Do you happen to know?
Oh, he's like, 50 or 60-1.
Yeah.
I would say on Johnson, there's a, you know, maybe the sucker side of me is like ready to do that. But I think in the year where he might be the, like sort of a talked about candidate, the better bet is Caleb Williams MVP. Because how does Ben Johnson win? Maybe he wins anyway, but 6-1. But what's Caleb Williams going to be, 75-1 or something like that? Like if Ben Johnson ends up by Christmas having a look at that award, what's Caleb Williams' season look like?
Well, it's funny you say that, because Caleb is already down to like 30-1 to win the MVP.
Oh, never mind.
So,
never mind. Right. Whoops.
No,
still good.
Look, relative to Ben Johnson being 6-1 to be coach of the year, I guess there's value. But Caleb Williams should be 100-1. To win the MVP, because he has to outduel Burrow, Lamar, Allen, Mahomes. You know, it's always one of those guys near the top, and it's usually a top-tier quarterback. But I laugh every year, man. I remember one time I was living in Chicago, and I logged into one of my apps, and Mitchell Trubisky was 25-1 to win the MVP, and I thought I would never bet that. And then a couple of years later, Justin Fields was 30-1. Bears fans are monetarily insane. Let's put it that way.
Right. I like Lawrence a little bit for a dart throw. Weak division if Houston isn't good. And if Cohen works out, he's got weapons. You know, he's been in the league. If you like his talent, I think he could be interesting there. And Bulldog would never, and I think I would never, but Kyler Murray.
I would never go near that, yeah.
I mean, weapons and if you just get a big year. Look, maybe not true of Lamar Jackson, because he had an insane year statistically and still lost. But if Allen and Mahomes put down last year's numbers again, they won't win. Like, they, forget it. I mean, Allen, first time, Jackson had already won two, good. You know, division title.
You're not giving Mahomes good. A fourth MVP off of a year like last year.
Third, but still, like, no.
Third, sorry. Okay.
And Jackson, I think, there's still that working against him. So if they all have the two high safeties all day, Sam, if they all have the same year, maybe somebody like Matt Ryan did in his year. Just, you know, weak division, they dominate it. The numbers 40-5 touchdowns to picks. Burrow last year without the terrible defense and the losing, you know, non-playoff season. That I think is the formula.
So there's a lot of money on Baker Mayfield for those reasons. Weak division, easy schedule. Ideally, you get Evans and Godwin back. And I understand that. It's fine. But the problem is I'm not betting Baker Mayfield at 40-1. He should be, you know, closer to maybe 80-1. It's a market that gets sort of morphed into shape because you don't want to give anybody away. You don't want to give guys 60, 70, 80-1 away because the liability builds so crazily. And that's not a market I think you can go, you know, deep diving on a lot of times because you have these quarterbacks that are just so bad. Like J.J. McCarthy, for example, he's 100-1. He should be 200-1. He's never played a snap in the NFL. But, you know, people are going to bet him because the Vikings were good last year and O'Connell's a whisper and all that.
Right.
But a guy who's never taken an NFL snap should not be 100-1 and win the MVP. He should be so much higher.
How much variance, if you know, Sam, is because we talk a lot here. You bring up the point, like shop around, right? Don't bet something at 45-1 when you can find it at 65 or 70-1. How much variance in these sorts of award odds is there?
Well, it depends on the book, but yeah, there is. I mean, we were talking this morning on the show about Coach of the Year, and you know, there were some guys that were like Sean McVay, for example. I'm kind of crisscrossing awards here, but it's the same principle, right?
Yeah,
Bulldog,
you're
looking for the best number. So McVay to win Coach of the Year, there's a 15, a 20, a 25, a 30, and a 35. Why would you ever bet the 15 when you could bet the 35 and get an extra $20 on your bet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, different books have different liabilities, but that's a perfect example right there. Like Sean McVay, of course he could win Coach of the Year, but there's a huge range, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. Like you got to get the best number at all times.
This is funny because I listened to the Establish the Run guys, Evan Silva, and Levitan, the host of that show, is often like tweaking him. Like it's how he'll give the speech on every episode about how important it is to price shop. But Evan, who's a little older, be like, I would never. I'm just too old for that. I'm not. And that's so. I think that's Bulldog. Respectfully, like you've got. Plus, they're a sponsor, client of yours.
I have a relationship.
You're not, he is not opening new apps. He's not learning new streets.
Right. No.
I'm pretty sure he is not learning new streets.
No, I'm affiliated.
Yeah, he's just going to do what FanDuel says.
They're not sponsoring my ride for Roswell tomorrow, but still, we're in bed together.
We have 2 minutes or less with Sam Paniadovich. Cooper Flagg, -250, NBA Rookie of the Year. Does that smell good or no?
He probably wins, but I also have no interest in laying 225, 250. I think there are two guys that come to mind. Dylan Harper's, you could find 15-1. Son of Ron Harper, of course, longtime Cav, longtime Bull, won a bunch of rings in the NBA. I think he's built, you know, that smooth lefty from Rutgers is built for the professional game. And some people don't believe in it because you have some bodies in front of him. You got Castle, you got, you know, De'Aaron Fox. So there are some bodies there at the guard position, but he might just blow right by both of them. So that would be a guy I would look at, 15-1, Dylan Harper. And then, look, I like this kid Knipple, which kind of kills me to say out loud because I had Duke, as you guys know, to win the title. And I was dying at Jay Billis during the draft. Oh, all these Duke kids have ice water in their veins. Yeah, that's why they blew a 14-point lead in the Final Four, right, with three top 10 picks. But Knipple, he's built for the game. He's a spot-up guy, moves without the ball, decent defender. He's 30-1. So if I had $100 right now, I'd go 50 on Dylan Harper and 50 on Con Knipple, Rookie of the Year.
Love it. Have a great vacation. Happy 4th. If we don't talk to you next week, if we can work it out, great.
All right, boys. See ya.
Sam Paniadovich, Bet Sweats, weekday mornings, headed to Chicago.
It's going to be hot there, I'll bet.
It's hot. Top everywhere but Miami.
What the hell?
What the hell? Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Who decided this? For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. I need a new copy for Sam. Do you know anyone? Need new copy for Sam. Brayton Wilson will join us at 4. Don't need new copy for Brayton. He'll come up. He'll join in and talk to us about the draft tonight. Who are the names to know? 1, 2, 3 overall. I think maybe Sam's in bad with his bet at the 3rd overall. The guy I have is -350, is named Anton Frondell.
Hmm.
Not whoever Sam said. And we'll see what Brayton thinks the Sabres could or should do tonight. That'll be coming up in just over 15 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.